Well, everything started during the initial invasion to Iraq. My vehicle was hit by an RPG, which rocked us pretty good. Ended up getting a TBI after being knocked out.
Just explain what that is.
It's a traumatic brain injury. I think there was a little bit of effect. I started getting like migraines and stuff like that. But back then, we also didn't have, I guess, the treatment then that we do now.
Well, let's talk about the other physical injuries that came along, because you served at tours in Iraq, and then you were sent to Afghanistan as well. What happened there?
Well, in Afghanistan, we struck an IED.
You were in a vehicle?
No, we were on a foot patrol. When the guy stepped on the IED, the blast threw me back. I landed on my back, fractured my back, basically, or broke my back. Caused a lot of nerve damage. Honestly, I thought things were going to be over for me. You know, it was one of those things that you don't think about it before it happens. You know, and based off all the other stuff that I saw, you know, I also had PTSD.
That was something that affected you very badly, wasn't it?
Yeah. I remember coming back and my mom looking him in the eye and she's like, "You're not the same." And my dad looking at me, and I mean, he's from the Vietnam era, so he immediately told me, he's like, Ronnie didn't come back. And I just remember, you know, telling him, you know, "What do you mean I didn't come back?" And getting really, like, I guess, kind of aggressive, you know. So a lot of stuff started changing right away.
What were the things that they noticed in you?
I was a lot more emotional. You know, I would cry for a little bit. I could watch Bambi and start crying. You know, just thinking about things, just seeing, you know, stuff on TV or whatever. And, you know, it would set me off. And obviously being injured, things started getting worse and worse and worse. So they put me in the Marine Corps' Wounded Warrior Program. So when they put me there, I was sitting idle. I went from, I call it running and gunning, you know, training with my Marines, hiding in deployments. You know, that was the easiest thing for me, was hiding in my deployments. I didn't have to worry about anything. Finally, you know, all this, like I said, all this emotion started coming out. I remember one night coming home, and I went upstairs and closed the door, got dressed up, and loaded the gun. I started putting the gun to my head, and my daughter knocked on the door and said, "Dad, I gotta pee. And I put the gun away, opened the door, let her go to the bathroom. I just sat on the bed, and I was like, "Wow, I can't believe that I was just about to be selfish and do something like that." So I went to the doctor, talked to the doctor about things, and, you know, she told me straight out, she's like, "You got PTSD."
But that wasn't the end of the story, was it?
Oh, no. The more and more that we kept on digging and digging and digging into things, I eventually, 4 more times, did try to commit suicide. Those 4 times were, you know, putting a gun in my mouth, you know, and just saying, you know, enough is enough. And
It's devastating even just to hear you saying that you put a gun in your mouth several times and came that close.
But, you know, what kind of, I always tell my Marines, you know, not to be selfish. But if you were going to be selfish, do it for the right reasons. You know, do it because you were going to take care of another Marine, or, you know, or selfless, I guess. There was always something that just always stopped me.
But, you know, you appear to be in a different place now. You can talk about these things. You're, well, more than anything, you're out and about. You're here. You're competing. What was a turning point?
Well, basically what happened was one of my buddies, he's a Paralympian. When I was in the hospital, he brought a hand cycle to me because I was down in the dumps. I was bitter. You know, nobody wanted to be around me. I didn't want to be around me. You know, the doctors didn't want to be around me. But he brought a hand cycle to the hospital, and he said, "Look," he's like, "the same thing that you did with your legs," he's like, "you could do with your arms." He's like, "No, get in it." So I got in it, and I started running around the parking lot. The next day, one of my other buddies, he called me up, and he's like, "Hey, he's like, we're doing a relay for, it was La Jolla Ironman. He's like, we're doing a relay for that. He's like, would you like to be in it? I was like, well, sure. You know, me being the Marine that I am, I was like, yeah, sure. So basically I only had like 5 days to get ready for it. And I just remember taking off and I had this big smile on my face. Everybody was taking pictures. And when I got done, it was 7 hours later. They were shutting down the race course. I was the last one on the race course. And I remember them taking pictures of me, and my smile was even bigger.
It's been a big theme of these games to talk about the seriousness of PTSD and the number of athletes here who have had mental health problems. How important do you think it is that it's been raised on this huge sporting platform?
Honestly, I think it's awesome. You know, when Prince Harry got up there, and he not only did it in front of the nation, but he did it in front of the world, you know, and basically said, you know what, look, we have a problem, and this problem needs to be fixed. He couldn't have said it any better, because there's so many voices that are now unheard that I know they would probably love to have been able to hear what not only he said, but what everybody else is saying about it today.
So what do you think it is that is stopping some of your former colleagues from going and getting some of that help?
I think it's the stigma. You know, that stigma of being called broken, or being called, you know, somebody saying that you got a mental disability or you're cuckoo or whatever. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that stops us from coming out and asking for help. I know so many of my buddies, they were in the same shoes as me. They're in the same shoes as me. You know, some of them, you know, have done the same things that I was about to do. You know, I got a buddy that almost took his own life last week.
Do you feel now that you are in a better place, that it's, in a way, part of your role to inspire others?
Oh yeah, and you know, when I first started doing it, that was the big thing that was the most important thing that I wanted to do, was to let, you know, my brothers and sisters know that, you know, I call it life after death. You know, because we had to see things, you know, that are gonna haunt us for the rest of our lives. But after that death comes life. You know, and that life is just it's beautiful, you know, and I'm seeing that every day, you know, not only in myself, but, you know, in everybody here. You know, you see so many people that are walking around, they're double amputees, you know, triple amputees, and they just, they're loving life. You know, there's nothing that can stop them.
You're getting very emotional now, but it is clearly something that has helped you out of a very bad place to a much, much better place, hasn't it, sport?
Oh, yeah, and that's why I get emotional about it, you know, because I get in that hand cycle and all my pain goes away. I'll have nightmares and I'll get on my bike at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and I just ride and ride and ride, and I get off and I have a smile on my face, I'm as happy as could be, and I'm ready to start my day.